We're going to try something challenging for today's shiur and take a look at the fourth chapter of Hilchos Kriyat Shema. There are a lot of very esoteric and, I would call it almost Kabbalistic concepts that come from the world of metaphysics here. And we'll try to see how we can do with them. He starts by telling you that he has a couple of questions about Kriyat Shema. First of all, why so much emphasis on what's called bizmano, in its right time? And also, with regard to onoso, its right time, we find a very interesting distinction. On the one hand, as far as Laila is concerned, the entire Laila is included in Kriyat Shema Shel B'Shalbuch of night. But with regard to Yom, it's only Ad Sof Shalosh Shos. Also, he wants to know what's the connection between Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMa'oros, in which we express our gratitude to God for creating the luminaries, and Kriyat Shema. There doesn't seem ostensibly at first glance to be any connection between the two. He tells you to look in Likutei Maharan Simon Lamed Vav. And I have here in front of me a copy of Likutei Maharan Simon Lamed Vav. And I will tell you that there are many, many concepts here in this Simon. It's very, very complicated. Almost every paragraph, and there are many, many paragraphs, introduce a new concept. But one of the paragraphs here, which is number Gimel, number 3, is about the two first psukim of Kriyat Shema, which means Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. And he writes about closing one's eyes when you recite those two psukim of Kriyat Shema. So apparently there's something significant about the eyes. Now, in the world of klipos, meaning of challenges, of temptation, the concept of sexual desire and immorality is in the einayim. Lo sasuru acharei einechem. Chazal say that einechem here is a reference to znus. And we're going to see about a person who's a real lowlife, and that's Bilam HaRasha, that the Torah calls him Shesume Naim, some sort of emphasis on his eyes. And apparently when we close our eyes for Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim at the time of Kriyat Shema, then we're dealing with the pages are over here if anybody needs them. Then it's some sort of a counter against the Naim of Znus, of what's called Taivas Niuf. And Taivas Niuf, which is the area of immorality, is considered to be, in a sense, the worst of all. It's sort of like the source of all Taiva, of all desire. And what we have to do is sort of straighten out our eyes, in a sense. We have to purify our eyes. And that's going to be a counter against this, what he calls taiva klolus, of all the different lusts and temptations and desires that can bring a person down. The most fundamental of them all is taivas niuf. And therefore you could say that if you're trying to do a tikkun, and you're trying to purify yourself and elevate and rectify, then you might as well start with Taivas Niv, because that's the fundamental root of all Taivas. And all this connects to Kriyat Shema. And we think of Kriyat Shema as a mitzvah of reading, of recitation, but there's another dimension to Kriyat Shema, which is a little bit more esoteric. It's not so famous. And that concept is introduced by Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. And on a pasuk in Bamidbar Chof Hei, which reads Vehema Bochim Pesach Ol Moed, Targum Yonasan comments Bochin Vekorin Es Shema, that at the recitation of Kriyat Shema they were crying. So we see that, and that's that whole context over there, Bamidbar, the 25th paragraph, is all about Hirhurim Be'isha Zona, all about the taiva of Niuf. And to overcome that, it's not enough just to read Kriyat Shema, which we said that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and closing one's eyes is to counter against the influence of the eyes in the negative sense and elevate them and rectify them, but also entails adding another element to the equation, and that's, bless you, that's bechiyah, that's crying. So we want to understand how these two elements integrate to form a power, a very powerful force in which we can counter the negative and, you know, that downward movement of the klipos that try to tempt us in this area. And in general, what we call it, according to the Likutei Maharan, is Tikkun Os Bris Kodesh. So I don't have to tell you that the Bris is an adding Kedusha, enhancing the sanctity of a young Jewish child, in this case a male child, of course. And that's going to be a Tikkun HaBris. You know, in that part of the body, that's where we have to add that element of elevation, of bris, of being committed to Hashem in purity and in sanctity. That's going to be the Tikkun HaBris. So that Kriyat Shema now becomes a very, very critical vehicle for Tikkun HaBris. And again, we have to have this combination of recitation together with Bechiyah, as Targum Yonasan says, crying to, you know, not only closing the eyes, but also crying from the eyes, the dmos that come out of one's eyes. All this has a special, shall we call it a skula, metaphysical power to counter against those influences of the klipa that try to bring us down and tempt us in the area of Taimas and the Yuf, in order to elevate us to the level of Tikkun Bris Kodesh. And if we can do that, and if we can solve that problem of how we look and how we react to this kind of lust in the sexual area, then for sure we can tackle all the other Taimas. You know, like Taimas Mammon and Taimas Achila and so forth and so on. Now Rabbi Nachman introduces two concepts which become very critical for our understanding. One of them is called Ar Pashut. Ar Pashut means the light that comes from above, from a higher place, and comes down to our level is Pashut. If I can give a mushel, do you know a little bit about stem cells? You know, they're unspecified. Right. So the R Pashut that comes from above is unspecified. What that means that it has to be determined. It has to be set into motion, into a certain tsura, a certain shape. We'll see how that happens. Now he calls this Bechinas Kometz V'Sasin. So according to Rabbi Nachman, we have a dimension of Sasin. Sasin means undefined. Satum. Kometz. Now you know that a Kometz is one of the vowels with which we read Lashon Kodesh. And Kometz means you close your mouth. So that the idea of Sasin the Kometz means undefined. In other words, it doesn't have a tzura to it. Speak a little louder, David.
I said it's supposed to be pasach, which means open.
Pasach. Pasach is open, yeah, right. And kometz is closed. Right. Okay, so now the R is an R pashut. It comes from a place that's sasum. The kometz. And now, we have to give it a tzura. Now the word tzura, in Lashon Kodesh, comes from the Shoresh Tzadi Yud Reish, which is Tzera. If you add a Yud, it's Tzere. So when we're going through the various vowels, you have the Kometz, and the opposite is the Tzura, because the Tzura gives it the shape. Kometz means it's shapeless, it's undefined, it's not differentiated, it's the R Pashut. But now, there's a Tzera. And that Tzera means tsura, to take that undefined and give it a specific shape or form. Shenitztayer ha'or. Now, what is going to determine the shape of the or? So, imagine, for example, what case can I give? Let's say snow is falling from the heavens. And we want to know what shape the snow is going to take. It all depends on the vessel, the receptacle that receives the snow. You know, if it's oblong, if it's square, if it's circle, that's the shape that it's going to take on. So that's called a keli. A kli is a vessel. Every human being has his kli, or his keli. So you have the R that's coming down from on high. It's undefined. It's comets visosim. It's an R pashut. And now the question is, what surah, what sere is it going to take? And it all depends on the kli. So for example, Bilam, we're going to take the case of Bilam. Bilam's kli is pagum vitame. He is completely contaminated by taivas niyuf. I mean, to the extent that I don't want to go into it, he has relations with his own animal, right? So his kli is going to be a kli pagum vitame. When he gets the R, that light from above, the benefits of Hashem, the Shefa, he's going to take it into his kli, and he's going to give it a tsura, which is called a klala, a curse. Something that's negative, that's contaminated, that's going to undermine the Jewish people. This was the plan of Bilam. Bilam was going to receive that R from on high in his kli pagum, and the tsura that he's going to give it is going to be that of a klal, the klal Yisrael, now in a very dangerous situation. Because Bilam has a tremendous potential of, heaven forbid, cursing the Jewish people. Now we read a pasuk. Bamidbar perachav gimel. Hine barech lakachti uberech v'lo ashivena. The three letters bet, resh, chaf appear twice in this pasuk. Once we'll call the resha, and the other we'll call the seifa. The difference between the beis, resh, chaf of the resha and that of the seifa is the vocalization, the vowels. The pasuk opens, and this we know al pi mesorah, with the word barech. Barech, what's under the base? A comma. Barech. In the second part of the pasuk, uberech. It's the same rech, but the base changed from barech, a comma, to berech, to a tzera. What is going on in this pasuk? So Rabbi Nachman has a very unique, an original interpretation of this pasuk. He says the following. Lakachti, in the beginning of this pasuk, is a reference to Bilam's intention. His intention was barech, with a komatz, meaning he wanted to receive from on high that which is ar pashut sasum v'komatz. So that by doing so, by receiving from on high an unspecified R, an R, a light that has no tzura to it, he can now, with his own kalim, give it a tzura and transform, or shall I say, impact upon, impress this R with a klala dimension. Hashem says no. It's not going to be barech. Instead, it's going to be Berech. I'm going to change the komatz into a tsere. And this is a miracle that very rarely takes place in Jewish history. But to save Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to give a tsura to the R. I myself, the divine being, declares, will take the the unspecified R that's coming spesasum, and I'm going to give it a tzura. What kind of tzura am I going to give it? The tzura of a bracha, of uberech, of a bracha, because of the tzeret. Shafilu halakicha shehoisa oz bebchinas kometz v'sasim. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes it. He transforms the R, such that the lakicha of the R is not the R of kometz v'sasim, but he bechinas berech. It's going to give a tzura. And what tzura is it? It's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kelim that's going to make that tzura of the R into a specified bracha tzura. And that's going to save Klal Yisrael from the evil intention of Bilam. So these are some of the points in a very long and complicated Torah called Torah Lamed Vav, which is number 36 in Likutei Maran. And based on some of these concepts, we're going to learn the Likutei Halachos of Rabbi Nassan, right, the disciple of Rabbi Nachman, in Hilchas Kriyas Shema Halacha Dalet. So those are the pages that I gave out. So until now, we have an introduction, and if anybody wants to pick up the pages, we have a photocopy here. I should really take one copy for my... Is there an extra copy for myself?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'll tell you why, because... No, I'll give it right back to you. I just want to see where the paragraphs, how they break down. There we'll see. Yeah, Vehine. So it's the third paragraph. The third paragraph. It's exactly the way I have it in the original. He says the following. That the two psukim of Kriyat Shema, that means Shema Yisrael, plus Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, Misugolim, look at that word Misugolim, comes to the word skula. Skula is a metaphysical power, something mystical, something mysterious, something that we can't understand rationally. Misugolim levatel al yodam hirhure niuf. Could you imagine, my friends, that when a person recites Kriyat Shema, the first and the second pasuk, he is generating, he's effectuating a power, a metaphysical power of a skula that could undermine and negate hirhure niuf, things and thoughts that go through a person's mind. You know, the mind works very quickly. I don't have to tell you, especially in the area of sexuality, the mind moves like the speed of light. And very often we're tempted, and the lust, that's what we call hirhure niuf, taibas niuf. And this is going to be countered by Kriyat Shema. This is a whole new dimension in Kriyat Shema. Anybody who has to, you know, wants to subscribe or change or add something to embellish his Kriyat Shema, you should be listening to what Rabbi Nassan is telling us on a deeper level, what we call Pnimius HaTorah. And he says, again, I'm just highlighting certain words, maybe you'll find them, Kol echad mekabel es haTorah, and the Torah, of course, is the greatest light that comes from above. Kifi hakli shelo. It all depends upon his receptacle. Kifi tfisas hamochin shelo. Mochin on the spiritual mind. You know, where is it? Is it pure or is it contaminated? And that will depend upon tikkun abris. If he is above those temptations of Taivas Niuf, because he's done a tikkun abris, he's rectified it, then his mochin are clear, are pure. He's got pure intellect. And with those pure mochin, when the R Pashut Kometz Vesasim comes down from on high, he can transform them into a tzura of a tzere, of a bracha. Why? Because of his achievement of tikkun abris. However, if a person has not yet achieved tikkun abris, then how is he going to receive this light, which is meant to be a tzere, which is meant to be mitsuyar, to give an atzura of holiness, of kedusha? Take, for example, his Rebbe or his Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik is teaching him how to deal with that R. And the Tzaddik is now transmitting that R to this individual, but the individual has not yet achieved Tikkun HaBris. His mind is clouded with Hirhurei Znus. His mochin are contaminated. His kalim, therefore, are kalim pegumim. He's going to receive the light that's been transmitted to him and taught to him by the tzaddik in a contaminated vessel. If the light is going to come into a contaminated vessel, chas v'shalom, it's now going to take on a tzura of a klola rather than a bracha. So we're really in a dilemma unless we've absolutely achieved tikkun HaBris. So what option do we have? You know, what's our alternative? How do we achieve a tikkun HaBris so that we can receive the Ohr Pashut from above in a kli that could be makabel and be mitzayer, that Ohr could give it a tzura of a bracha? And that's where we need Kriyat Shema. Because Kriyat Shema has this metaphysical school of power of tikkun HaBris, of countering any sort of hirhurim of niyuth through the reading, the recitation of these two psukim, and then we'll get to the element of bechia, of adding tears into the equation. And the next paragraph, or you may have it in the same paragraph, al kein ksiv v'bilam, hine barech, again with the komatz under the beis lakachti, u'beirech v'lo afshiyan v'tzere, afilu halakicha shu'oz v'b'chinas komitz v'sosim v'b'chinas berech. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow Bilam to give the tzura to the Or, because with his Bilam's kelim pegumim, his contaminated vessels, he's going to make it into a klola and curse klali. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, from the moment that the Or reaches you, Bilam, it's already berech, with a tzera. It's already been given a tzura up above. And zeu b'chinas kriyat shma ba'onasa, if you read kriyat shma at its time, he is sowed kol ha-Torah kulo. How is it so? Because what is kriyat shma? Kriyat shma is emuna kedosha. It's holy faith. It's the belief in God that encompasses all 613 mitzvahs. How do we know this? David Amel says in Tilim Kuf Yutes, kol mitzvosecha emuna. Or the Gemara at the end of Makkah says, baruch havaku gemidim al achas, all 613 can be collapsed and reduced into one mitzvah. And what is that one single mitzvah? Emuna. And we reach that level of emuna when we recite Kriyat Shema. That includes the yesod of all 613 mitzvahs that are included, incorporated into Emuna. And his understanding of the R of Torah is a reflection and is determined by his level of Tikkun HaBris. To what extent has he purified his mind? And it's no longer cloudy, it's Tikkun Klei HaMochin. And then he can receive the R, which is unspecified, and make it into a bracha. But if on the other hand, heaven forbid, his kalim apgumim, then instead of the R of Torah being a sam hachayim, a force of life, which is called tzaddikim yelchubam, it could become the exact opposite, heaven forbid, a klola, a curse, a sam hamoves. So he's at a crossroad now. What do we do for the masses of people that are still suffering and still grappling with the challenges of Tikkun HaBris? They have not achieved a perfect, complete Tikkun HaBris. There are very few people in any generation who could say and achieve that level. Oh, I achieved Tikkun HaBris b'shlemus. I have no thoughts and no Hirhure Znus or Niyuf at all. I'm completely free of all those lusts. And if that be the case, how do we have a possibility of achieving Tikkun HaBris? Most of us are ridden with all these challenges that the Sitra Achra puts in our way, thoughts that enter into our mind, and especially, of course, in our society, you know, with all the schmutz that's in front of us. Is any Yochel Kabel Shum Eitzah? He's not going to get any uplifting message, so to speak, from the Torah Kedosh, from the Holy Torah, because if his Kalim and his Moach is suffering from Pgama Bris, then Lo Zocha Nasa Lo Sama Mavis, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Ayin Beis, Chas V'Shalom. So what are we going to do in this very, very challenging situation in which we find ourselves? Because we all suffer from Pgumim in the Pgama Bris, and we won't be able to receive the words of the Torah, the Or Kometz V'Sosim, the words of the Tzaddik. It's going to be Mitzuyar in the opposite way, Chas V'Shalom. It's going to become a Sama Moves, a Klola. But the answer is Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is going to be the salvation for us. He says that the Emuna Kedosha, that holy level of Emuna faith, is going to be achieved, and it's going to give us a Tikkun HaBris. There's a new method of Tikkun HaBris. How do we achieve Tikkun HaBris? How do we free ourselves of these lusts and these thoughts that just come into our mind constantly? They flood us. It's through Emuna Kedosha. When do we achieve Emuna Kedosha, that holy level of faith? Kriyat Shema, Shema Yisrael Ubarach Shem. When we recite Kriyat Shema, Shema Yisrael, and Baruch Shem, that's Emunah, that's the greatest manifestation and declaration of Emunah faith. God is one and I accept Him and His dominion, and I commit myself to fulfill His every will as an Eved Hashem at that moment. Zocha li natzel mihirhurei niyuf. All these temptations and all these thoughts, he's above that. He's on a level at the time that he reads Kriyat Shema, and we hope it'll have an impact, a lasting impact, of being above all these lusts. He's in a level of love of God. He's totally involved in Emunah, in faith. And therefore, Shema Yisrael equals Tikkun HaBris. We have a new method of Tikkun HaBris that's being revealed here in the OU Center. For the first time in the history of the OU Center, I think. I don't know. Okay, we have a little somehow distraction here. We're serving cholent today. Okay. So what do we have? We have Tikkun HaBris, Tikkun HaMochim. We're going to, through this Emunah of Shema Yisrael, if we recite Shema Yisrael with the right Kavanah, we're going to fix up our Mochim, our minds, and get rid of all the pollution in our minds and purify our minds. And that's going to create Kalim. Then we have the receptacle that's going to receive our Libracha. We're going to be Mitzayer. We can give a Tzura, the Tzera. Remember the Tzera, the two dots, right? To give a Tzura of Bracha to the R, to the light, to the Torah, to the Eitzah, to the Tzadikim and the Diburim. David. David, I'll tell you the truth. I apologize, and hopefully, if I say it once, it'll work. You got to raise your voice.
I apologize.
Scream at the loudest decibels that you can, or sit right here in front of me. Those are your two choices.
Okay, the segol is supposed to be the segula that you're talking about.
The tzere.
Right. The segol,
right.
About the
segol. Oh, I don't know. Where did you get the segol? I didn't speak about segol. Oh, you want to say that maybe Segel is the skula? That's a brilliant idea. It's possible. But that skula power is inherent in Emunah when I give and recite that declaration of faith in God. There's nothing else in the universe. Ain't on milvado. Hashem Echad. Everything is part of the Achdus, the oneness of Hashem. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time. V'alkein al yidei ha'munah kedosha shikriyat shema yicholim litzayir ha'or lebracha. Look what's at stake over here. If you say the right, if you recite kriyat shema with emunah kedosha, with the right intentions, everything is at stake. Because now you've changed your kalim into kalim of tzerei that could be mitzayir all those holy lights that come down and teachings of the Torah and make it into a bracha. Yachol etzayra or lebracha v'yachol lasok b'torah ulekabel etzos mein toroso. Toroso shal Hashem, toroso shal tzadik, tzadik ha'emes, nitzayra or letova lebracha al yidei amuna kedosha shushma ubarak shem. Unbelievable. Oh boy, you can get really into this. You can get excited about this. A whole different perspective on Emunah, a whole different perspective on Kriyat Shema. And in paragraph number Hey, he embellishes this even further. He's telling us that whenever we have a Bakasha, whenever we have a Bikush means when we seek out. We seek out that Hashem Yisborach should reveal to us the aura of emes, the aura of truth, and that we should be able to receive it in kalim tovim, in good kalim. We need kriyat shema, we need emunah. Because yodeani, I know myself, the atzmi, shedaiti achura upaguma miyod al yidei pekam abris, I have not yet reached that level, as most of us have not, of rectifying my machshavos, my thoughts. I'm still in a level of pgama bris, but now he should mevatel daito legamrei al yidei amuna v'yimsar libo l'Hashem yisbarach, and therefore yoyer lo ha'emes, etc., etc. Fine. Now you remember that Rabbi Nassan here in Hilchas Kriyat Shema was trying to explain why it's so significant to recite Kriyat Shema Be'onasa in its proper time. And now we're going to skip to number Zion. You have that? It's broken down into paragraphs. You have Zion. Zeu Bechinas Man Kriyat Shema. And we ask the second question. It's interesting that b'shalbachav kumecha, with regard to kriyat shma shel laila, it's the entire laila. With regard to kriyat shma shel yom, it's only the first 3 hours of the day. So he starts with a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi, which we recite in birchas kriyat shma, yotzer or Ubore Choshech, etc. Now notice there are two words, different words, that are being used in this pasuk to describe the creation of light. There's Yitzira and Bria. Now we have to understand that there are four worlds in the mystical understanding. They are called Abia. Again, if this was a whiteboard, I would write it here. Ayin, Beis, Yud, Alf, Abir. Are you familiar with that? I think we once touched on it here. Abir is the lowest world, which is called the world of Asir. And the Aleph at the end of Abir is the highest world, which is called Atzilus. In between those two worlds, if we go up from bottom to top, we go from Asiya to Bria. And then from Bria, we go to the Yud, which is Yitzira. So Yitzira is a higher world than Bria. Like, for example, when we get up in the morning and we wash our hands and we go to the bathroom, all that is called asir. And then we put on that tzitzis, we get to the higher world of bria. And then we put on that tefillin shel yad is keneged yitzira, and then finally tefillin shel rosh is keneged atzilus. And then even, you get the picture, there are four worlds. The Isa Bekavonos, now he's quoting the Arizal, the Pri Etz Chaim, who, you know, he lived 5 centuries ago. You know the Ari. I mean, if you've ever been in Tzfat, you can't avoid the Ari. It's all over. And so he says, the Ari says that Yitzira, which again is closer to Atzilus, that means it's higher than Bria. Nikra Or. Ubria. Right, so how do we have it? We had Abia, right? So if you're going from top to the bottom, then you get from Atzilus down to Yitzira, and from Yitzira down to Bria. So Yitzira is a higher world than Bria, and Yitzira is Nikra Or. Ubriya shehu lamala yoser hu bechinas choshech. Okay, let's see if we can understand. This is a little bit challenging. It's very mystical. He's trying to explain that pasuk in Yeshaya that says Yotzer Or Ubore Choshech. Now the word Yetzira in this pasuk is connected with Or, right? It's light. Light is something accessible. It illuminates. With regard to Choshech, Yeshaya Hanavi uses the word Bore. And Choshech, of course, is a manifestation of that which is beyond our comprehension. It's dark. So in a certain sense, we could understand Borei Choshech. Let me just read it one more time. I apologize, it's a little bit complicated. Yitzira Nikra Or, Yotzer Or, right? Ubria Shehula Mala Yoser. Hu bechinas choshech. Machmas omek hamusog, machmas shebria gvoa yosef, mi'ein lano asoga sham, al ken, nikra bria choshech etzlenu. Bechinas ubore choshech, aber yitzira musag lano yosef, al ken nikra or, bechinas yotzer or. Ukshein yechol lasig or dain bechinas bria shehu bechiras bechinas choshech adayin or bechinas komatz bechinas komatz v'sosim ki ein lanu bo shum tefis akak sheyored or min its tayel lemato bechinas tzeirei shezo bechinas ikar or bechinas yotzer or. I can't explain every single word here because this is very esoteric. What I could tell you is that he's saying that during the nighttime, which is Choshech, we need a process of Borei Choshech. And he says that Bria is a level that's almost beyond our comprehension. Right? That's why we use the word Bria in the context of Choshech. So that during the entire course of night, the entire process of Bria is in a state of Choshech, non-stop. It's continuous Choshech through the entire night. That's why we need Kriyat Shema at night, any time during the night, because any moment of time that you pick during the night, it's always going to be a bechina of Choshech. So we need, you know, we need to work very hard and overcome that Choshech. But in terms of the daytime, then that aura of daylight, which needs to be received in Kalim Tahorim, that's only when the aura is really manifest. It's a very powerful and intense light. That's only during the first 3 hours of the day. After that, the light sort of plateaus, he's saying. It has reached its apex. That's what he says in the next paragraph. Again, if it's broken up in yours the way it is in mine. Ikar cheshkas laila mamish nimsha b'chinas ha-choshech hazeh b'chinas or she'en yecholm la'sigo komitz v'sosin. Alkein al cheshkes laila anu mevarchim ubore choshech. Ki misham nimshach ha-choshech. Right, this is the or that's komitz v'sosin, that's choshech. And he says night comes before day in the creation of the universe, vayer vayvoker. And therefore, at the beginning of the night, that's when the aura of that day begins to come down from high. That's called Vayera Vayvoker. And now the aura has no tsura to it. When it comes down to this lower world, it's got to receive a tsura. Lekablo v'leroso. We say nimshach cheshkas laila, but b'yom b'knisas hamochin oz nitztayra or b'mchinas hatzir shal ha'or ha'shayach l'zeh ha'olam u'mizeh meir hayom. So that laila is before the tzir of the or. That's why it's all dark. That's kamitz v'sasin. So zman kriyat shma v'laila is kol ha'laila. Because again, the purpose and the goal, the agenda of Kriyat Shema is l'taken kliyam mochen, right? To purify one's thoughts and one's mental processes. L'tzayir ha'or l'bracha, to give the or a tzura of bracha. V'zeh nimshach kol ha'layla. The entire night we need to be mitzayir the or, because at Laila we have an or with out a tzir. It has no shape to it the entire night. That's why it's called Cheshkas Laila. Aval Bayom Ein Zman Kriyat Shema Rak B'Tchilas Hayom. Why? Why is Kriyat Shema Shel Yom limited to Tchilas Hayom? B'Eishem Maskil L'Hoyer Hayom. So according to the Chachamim, that's the first 3 hours of the day. That's called Knisas Hayom, the beginning of the day. And that's when the aura of Yom, the light of day, begins to give a tzura, or to be given a tzura, lamata here on earth. It comes from on high, and it gets determined and differentiate it at when it reaches the ground here, so to speak. So that's our challenge of reading Kriyat Shema, to give a tzura to the R at the beginning of the R of Yom and make it into a bracha. But after the third hour of the morning, Shvar Nishlama R, the R itself is complete. When it comes down from on high, there's no possibility of giving it a tzura. The R, by the time the 3 hours have passed, has already been given its final tsura. You can't change that. And therefore, over zman kriyat shma. Because since we said that the agenda, the purpose, the goal of Kriyat Shema is Litzayir Ha'or, once the Or has its final Tzura, then Kriyat Shema loses its significance. So during the night, including the entire course of the night of Choshech, the Or is Bechinas Kometz V'Sosin. And so too at the beginning of the morning, when the Or is maschil lahoyer hayom adayin lo nigmar or hayom b'shlemus, and at that point we can be mitzayer the or with a tzura shel bracha. As huzman kriyat shma adayin litzayer haor lemalo, because during these 3 hours of the day the light has not reached its final fruition, its final tzura. We can give a bracha and convert and transform and elevate this R into an R of bracha before it's got its final tzura during the first 3 hours of the day. Now, what I see we're running a little bit short on time because I got stuck here with this Bore and Yotzer, which I want to come back to, believe me or not. So just so that we can come to some conclusion here for today, let's fast forward for a moment because I wanted to talk about Bechia. Do you have paragraph number Yud? If you have Yud, number 10, which I think I have on my list, there's a paragraph here that starts, V'zeu sha'anu mevakshim kodem kriyat shma v'ha'erei neinu b'sorasecha. Right before kriyat shma, we ask for God to give us light in our eyes through His Torah. What does that mean? That we should be able to take out of our Limud Torah Eitzos Udrachim Yesharim Lavodaso Yisparach. We should get a pattern, almost like a map, a guiding us through the day. Teaching us how to give that Seire, that right, proper, pure tzura to the kalim to receive the R. V'lo yitztayer R ha-Torah etzleinu lehefach ha-shvashon. B'chinas lo zoch anas lo kisam ha-mogis. V'zeu v'hoyer einenu, einenu dafka. Why the emphasis on the eyes? Ki ikar ha-ikar toli b'tikun ha-inayim. If we want to break the Taibas Niyuf, we have to upgrade the status of our eyes. We have to go to a good optometrist or a right ophthalmologist, I don't know. Shezochim kifima shebeshabrim Taibas Niyuf atoli beinayim Shiyataiva ra shekol el hara shel kol shivim uvan. Okay, those are 70 categories of evil. Valken ikar abakosha shenizke letikun haynayim l'shaber atava nal v'lizkos li'ayin ponim shel Torah. So the ayin, metaphorically, symbolizes the 70 dimensions of Torah. Ayin is 70. And therefore, v'hoyer einenu b'sora sech, ki heim chayenu v'yorch yomenu. But afterwards, he connects it to Karbonos that we recite every morning in the Beis HaMikdash and V'komatz HaKohen. I mean, he ties in a million and one things into this structure, but we don't have time for that now. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. We got up to number Zion. That's where we got slowed down a little bit, so maybe we could pick that up. What is the schedule for the next couple of weeks? Does anybody know?
Next week is normal.
And what about 2 weeks from today? Is that normal also? Alright, so we'll try to do some more research about that.
What's that, the ninth, right?
Well, let's put it this way, if Sunday, a week from today, is already the 2nd of Nisan, so it's the 9th of Nisan, I would assume that we still are here. I don't know, I'm not sure. So we'll figure that out. Okay then?
What?
We'll figure that out. We'll send out the word. You know, are you on the email list? Or?
Yeah, well,
okay. So let me wish everyone a great day.
Thank you.
Okay.